Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, late last year in the UK, the Member of Parliament for Runcorn, Mike Amesby, had one pint too many and ended up punching one of his constituents in the face. That led to him being jailed in February and led in turn to a by-election, which has overnight led to an enormous political upset, sending shockwaves through Westminster. Reform UK, Nigel Farage's party, has snatched victory in the Runcorn and Helmsby by-election by just 6 votes, toppling Labour in one of its traditional heartlands. So, is this just a razor-thin win driven by a focus on immigration and energy prices? Or is it perhaps something more significant than a local shift, a warning shot to the major parties ahead of any future general election? I'm joined by Lucy Fisher, Whitehall editor with the Financial Times, and Peter Cardwell, former special advisor to 4 UK cabinet ministers and chief political commentator on the Talk Network. But first, let's take a listen back to the Reform's winning candidate, Sarah Pochin, after her win.
The people of Runcorn and Helmsby have spoken. Enough is enough. Enough Tory failure. Enough Labour lies. And I want to thank every one of you who were brave enough to put a cross against my name and who have put their faith in Nigel Farage as the next Prime Minister of this great country. I know our victory here will inspire the rest of the country to believe that they too can stand up for fairness, for what is right, and for our British values.
The next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom might be overstating it, as this only increases their parliamentary numbers from 4 to 5. But Lucy Fisher, can you take us through the numbers here and what it is that happened in this by-election? What kind of a majority was overturned?
Well, it was a huge majority overturned. It was Labour's 40th safest seat in the country. But of course, it was triggered in difficult circumstances. As you mentioned, the outgoing Labour MP was convicted for assault, which is what sparked this race in the first place. Still, it really does show that Reform is parking its tanks on Labour's lawn and not just the Tories. And of course, it came right down to the wire with Reform winning by just 6 votes after a knife-edge 3-hour recount and wrangling at the town hall itself as the results were sort of wrangled over by the two parties.
Were the Tories really ever in this race? Because Sarah Pochin is poacher-turned-gamekeeper. She was a former Tory who's now running as a Reform UK candidate. Did that mean that Reform UK had a bit of a leg up going into this by-election?
I think possibly that's true, although some people in Reform would say, you know, the opposite is true, that, you know, you could argue that, you know, people who are Reform curious could potentially be deterred by a former Tory or a Tory in exile joining the party and standing as a candidate. So they would say it's an even bigger achievement that she has won in this seat. What I think it does show is that Reform is very competitive, you know, in the Midlands and North, the area we sort of think of as the Red Wall, where, you know, Tories under Boris Johnson made significant inroads during, you know, the 2019 general election. But I also think, you know, some of the specifics of what was going on in this seat, particularly around the accommodation of asylum seekers, which is a theme that Nigel Farage has campaigned on nationally in a very heavy way, had a bearing on the results.
Yes, I saw that she made the claim that in certain parts of the constituency, there were streets with 2 or 3 houses with as many as 20 migrant occupants in them. Was there any truth to that, or was she just playing the race card?
Well, look, some of those claims have been contested, but certainly it is the case there were private landlords who were contracted to put up asylum seekers and refugees. And of course, there was a local, or there is, I should say, a local asylum hotel. And I think we can see what a big issue visceral issue that was for local voters, because the Labour candidate in this by-election had vowed to close that hotel if they'd won. So it was clearly an issue that had a lot of currency with local voters.
Lucy, stay with us, please. I want to bring in Peter Cardwell, former special advisor to a number of UK cabinet ministers. Is this a good day for anybody other than UK Reform Party?
No, it's not. It was always going to be a bad day for the Conservatives. This is a verdict on sort of peak Boris 2021, the day they won the Hartlepool by-election, something I'd be really astonished if they do again. So the Conservatives were always going to do badly here, although I think they'll probably end up doing worse when we see all the council elections coming in. Certainly for Reform, they've tapped into something. It's really interesting, actually, when you listen to Nigel Farage, and he says things like, we need to learn from the Liberal Democrats. It's interesting, if you go back nearly a year now to the UK general election, Reform UK got 5 seats at that point with 4.1 million votes. The Liberal Democrats only have 3.5 million, but got 72 seats. They know how to use the system. They know how to manage votes, which, as every politician in Ireland knows, is an incredibly important thing, not just in a first-past-the-post system, but, of course, in a PRSTV system as well. So I think it's really interesting. With a by-election, obviously, you can have a lot of focus on one particular area, but it's not just Mike Amesbury's constituent who got a bloody nose here. The Conservatives and Labour did too.
I wonder, though, sometimes, do UK commentators and does UK media talk up Nigel Farage and his party a little bit too much? I was listening to BBC News at 6 o'clock this morning, and they were talking about this by-election result as an inflection point in modern English political history, kind of forgetting that this party, UK Reform, with 5 seats, is pretty much mathematically insignificant in Westminster.
Although if you look at the polls and all the evidence that's coming, they're mathematically insignificant. Nobody says, I mean, Nigel Farage this morning saying, oh, Reform is the new opposition. That's hyperbole. Of course it is. Nobody says the DUP with their 5 MPs are the real opposition in this country. Of course they're not. But for Nigel Farage, he has momentum. He has these kind of results where he's overturning huge majorities. He also has a more professional organisation than he had previously. And he's in a position where the momentum is with him. The polls are with him as well. He's leading almost every poll with Reform UK. In a presidential system, he would do very, very well. But we're not in that system. Okay. And I think that's what's going to hold him back.
So is the inflection point here that they have finally managed to translate that occasional capturing of anti-government sentiment and the mood of the moment and translated it for, well, not the first time, but one of the first times into a result?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair analysis, certainly. I think they're an anti-establishment party. What I keep hearing Reform UK saying, and many of their supporters, is they talk about the uni party, this idea that Labour, the Conservatives, the Lib Dems are all the same. They're the establishment and something has to happen. Almost Trump, certainly with echoes of Trump in terms of the upset of that. But there has been a big upset in UK politics today. It's not, I don't think it's terminal, I don't think it's seismic, but Nigel Farage is the person to watch in UK politics, and certainly Keir Starmer has a really tough day today. I wouldn't be surprised if a reshuffle is in the offing.
Okay. Lucy Fisher, back to you. And there were obviously local elections going on as well. What kind of an insight do they provide into what it is that Peter is saying there about the popularity of Reform UK, the unpopularity of Labour, and the continued demise of the Tories?
Well, I think it's very useful that there is a patchwork of contests across England, so we can get a sense of the geographical spread of the parties and the sense of where they're strongest. And I thought it was quite insightful this morning. Sir John Curtis, you know, probably the UK's preeminent elections analyst, saying, yes, we can say now that England is a 4 or 5 party nation, but not across the board. It is the case that these other parties, Reform, the Green Party, enjoy pockets of strong support across England, not kind of blanket support. So I think it's very useful to see where Reform does well in that sort of eastern coastal region in the Midlands. We're expecting them to have taken both Staffordshire and Lincolnshire county councils off the Tories. And don't forget that this will be a big achievement for Reform. Its predecessor party, UKIP, never actually managed to seize control of a county council. And then, for example, the Liberal Democrats are hoping to do very well in more the home counties, the south, areas like Devon, Gloucestershire, Oxfordshire, Warwickshire, which we won't see the results of till later this afternoon. But that will give us a sense of where they're taking on the Tories and what were once quite strong sort of centrist Tories in the Cameroon era heartlands.
Mm. So, Peter, maybe I'm wrong to have poo-pooed the BBC. Maybe the inflection point here is that the party system is fracturing and it's no longer just a tale of two political behemoths.
You're right in the sense that there is a definite political upset here today. We've got Reform UK consistently doing 25, 26% ahead of the governing party, Labour, with its huge majority. But also it got into government with a huge majority, but nonetheless a very low vote share. And I think the problems with the first-past-the-post system are being shown. Reform UK is exploiting that. And if they can exploit that further and manage their vote, learn those lessons from, for example, the Liberal Democrats, as Nigel Farage has talked about, well, then I think they can do very, very well at the next UK election. And then we're into all sorts of scenarios. Do you have a Labour-Lib Dem coalition? Do you have some sort of deal between Reform and the Conservatives? And Kemi Badenoch is under a lot of pressure today. She's been basically invisible in this campaign, and she has a lot of questions to answer. The first time they can question her future properly or get rid of her mechanism-wise is really sort of end of October, a year after she became Conservative Party leader. But those questions will continue right through until that time and beyond.
Well, let me clear you for a bit of wild speculation here. How likely is a reverse takeover of the Tory party by Nigel Farage now?
All I would say is that 4 years ago, when the election results came out, people thought that Boris Johnson was going to have a fifth term and he was going to be Conservative Party Prime Minister at this time. A lot can happen in a very short space of time in UK politics. We've seen that since it has not stopped since 2014, and nothing would surprise me.
Carefully and deftly done. Peter Cardwell, thank you very much. And Lucy Fisher as well.